Now, of course, that first paragraph there is from the scripture. And the rest of what is on the screen are my words. The house of Israel could have been, should have been, but we're not a kingdom of holy priests and a holy nation. Now, that's what we've been studying here in the book of Ezekiel. They were not part, I mean, they had given up God for whatever reason. They were not of the household of God anymore. And likewise, Tyre could have been, should have been, but was not. Because, now, when I ask because here, why would I say that Tyre was part of the kingdom of God or part of the nation Israel? That is the point. Why was Tyre part of the nation Israel?
Weren't they part of Asher, you said?
Pardon me?
Weren't they part of the tribe of Asher?
They were part of the tribe of Asher. And it was a city captured by Joshua. And we find that in Joshua, it'll be Joshua chapter 19. And it was one of the border cities in the of Asher. And Asher is up the seaboard there. And we're going to move forward now and take a look at a map. Those of you who were here Wednesday saw this map. But we're going to bring them out down to more scale, more names, so forth and so on. But notice Spain, Italy, Greece, Asia Minor. Of course, those are states, nations, whatever, Asia Minor being Turkey today. The names in red, Javan, Tarshish, Meshach, Tubal, those are names from Genesis chapter 10. Why would Ezekiel be bringing out names from 1700 to 1800 years back in history to the people in exile? Well, let's think about that as we progress through this lesson. Notice Tyre and Put. Those are in brown. Those are sons of or descendants of Ham. And, of course, we have Jerusalem there. Why do I say Tyre is a descendant of Ham? Well, Genesis 10 tells us that the northernmost reach of Ham was Sidon. See Sidon above Tyre on this mount? Everything from Sidon coming south here and around there, around to Egypt, Put, those were, according to the scripture, nations of Ham, as well as Ramah, Dedan, and Sheba here, Erech here, Babylon here. Now, I have noticed on this map that there's some names on here that should be black that kind of appear brown. But Jerusalem should be black, as well as the river Kibar. Who was at the river Kibar?
Ezekiel.
Okay. Dedan should be black. Bashan should be black. Senir should be black. Senir is another name for Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, which means snow mountain. Purity, stronghold of God. Bedan. Another name for Dan. Dan, the northernmost tribe in Israel after they moved in the latter part of the book of Judges. Minith. Minith is only mentioned two times in the scripture. Chapter 27. And go back to Judges. In the day of Jephthah, he chased the Ammonites through Minith. Minith means bitterness. And let's see. Now, I mentioned all red, sons of Japheth. All brown, sons of Ham. The purple, sons of Shem. And then we have Ishmael here. And this was, you might remember in Psalm 20, when, as Josh was preaching this morning, he said from Psalm 20 has both Kedar and Meshach. Meshach is up in the area of the Cimmerians, C-I-M-M-E-R-I-A-N-S, Cimmerians, and Scythians were up in that region. And then we go from the north to the south, and Kedar is the son of Ishmael, Genesis 25:13. But here Ezekiel is taking these names from 1800 years ago, and bringing them forth to the people Israel, So what could the possible message be here? He is going back to and speaking to people who knew or should have known the law. Knew or should have known the law of Moses. Because that's what we're dealing with here. Those names come out of the old law. Y'all follow that? Okay. Now, on Wednesday we discussed chapter 27 begins with, Son of Man, take up a lamentation over Tyre. Lamentation is a mourning. And we've already talked about, consider who Ezekiel is speaking to. It's the exiles at the river Kabar, maybe 10,000 or so people. Tyre was a prosperous port city. Now, what we have seen here is Tyre's trading partners. They're across the world. They're from Spain to the west, to Lud in Persia to the east, to the Arabian Sea to the south, where Sheba would be. So, worldwide, Tyre is depending, has respect of the world, is depending on the world for its wisdom and its riches and its forgotten God. That is the primary message here in chapter 27, verses 1 through 25. We talked about on Wednesday, had a picture of a ship, right? Mm-hmm. Boat. That was Tyre's beautiful ship. It was a worldwide ship. But what is happening to that ship? What is the picture painted in the scripture? That ship is about to sink. It's about to sink. But it's not going to sink immediately. It's going to be a while down the road before it sinks. But in verses 26 through 36, Tyre's beautiful ship begins to sink. But why? Because you have forgotten God. And because you have forgotten God, he is bringing the east wind. Who's the east wind? Nebuchadnezzar. Forces from the east. Now, when we study history of this period, it was not just the Babylonian Empire, because history adds more to this. See where Meshach is up there? Sumerians, Scythians. Babylonia was a world empire, but those people from the north and central, they were truly evil people. And the only thing they cared about is raiding. Raiding and looting. They would gather that, they would go back to their own home places. Whereas Nebuchadnezzar was building an empire for himself and actually capturing cities and taking land. Verses 28 through 31 talks about the world being in awe. The world will mourn. They will mourn for Tyre, because Tyre was so beautiful, so well respected. They will mourn for Tyre. They will shave their heads. They will wear sackcloth and weep bitterly, but to no avail. Verses 32 through 36, while mourning the world, the world will be appalled. The world will be appalled, and the world will be both appalled and terribly afraid, because the world will see what the Lord has done to Tyre. This is part of the message of chapters 27 and 28, is the Lord's judgment on the nations and getting the nations' attention, just like he is at the present time getting Jerusalem's attention. The merchants will hiss at you. Hissing means to whistle or to sing at their demise. Look at you. Sorry for you, but that's the way it goes. And verse 36, 27-36 ends with, and you will cease to be forever. Well, when and to whom will Tyre fall? When and to whom will Tyre fall?
Ultimately,
Alexander. Now, y'all saw this. Those of you here who were here Wednesday saw this, but I don't want to go into this in detail right now. But take a look and see a red star at the left margin over there. My date will differ a little bit to what Brother Harkrider has in the workbook. But Nebuchadnezzar besieged Tyre from 587 to 574, according to history. Now look over toward the bottom right for Alexander. Tyre fell to Alexander in 332. So, it was a long time before Tyre fell. Tyre had, I think we saw on Wednesday, that Isaiah from around 720, Jeremiah from around 605, and then Zedekiah from around 720 were prophesying for the fall of Tyre. And Tyre did fall, but it was in 332. Chapter 28. Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre. The leader of Tyre is the prince of Tyre. Leader or prince. And it kind of depends on which version of the scripture you're looking at. But one, it should either have leader or prince. And some might say king. Because your heart is filled with pride. And this is verses 2 through 5. Because you have rejoiced at Jerusalem's plight, saying, aha, and you think yourself a god, and you think you're wiser than Daniel, and you think your wisdom made you rich and powerful. Okay, a man of men, a flesh and blood man, who was wiser, who may have been in the scripture wiser than Daniel? Solomon. Who was wiser than both Solomon and Daniel? God, right? Not flesh and blood, but God. So, you think yourself wiser than Daniel? You think yourself wiser than Solomon? Yes, you even think yourself wiser than God. This is an exhibition of pride, arrogance from Tyre. And verses 6 through 10, because of your proud heart and you thinking you are God, you will be defiled by the most ruthless of nations. Now, the immediate defilement is Babylon. The next one, when you look at this over here, starting with 539 down at the bottom left, the next defiling is the Medo-Persian Empire. And then you follow that down to 336 to 330. That is the Greek Empire. So we have, I mean, the message here is far-reaching. It is not just for 585, 586, 587 BC. It reaches further. Your beauty, we're still verses 6 through 10. Your beauty, your wisdom, your splendor among the nations will cease. And you, Tyre, will be a dead nation. Then where will your pride be when you die the death of the uncircumcised? Dying the death of the uncircumcised, what does that mean generally? What would that mean generally to
lost,
good? Let's see what I wrote down here. What I said, it is the uncircumcised at that period in time were those without the presence of God. Would you accept that? Mm-hmm. Verses 11 through 19. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Now we're going from the city state, if you will. Tyre was not a nation. Tyre was a city. A city state, a very wealthy one, very strong one, a very well-built one, structurally speaking. You had the seal of perfection. What is that seal of perfection? Go back to, they could have been, should have been, a nation of holy priests, mm-hmm. or a kingdom of holy priests. They could have been that, but they were not. Now, the reason that they could have been is because they were inside the promised land. They had the benefit of all of those promises that God made initially. But they are part of, were part of, denying those promises. Denying the promises that God had made. Not benefiting themselves from those promises. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. In Eden, the garden of God. Now what is Ezekiel telling us, or telling the people of that day? In Eden, the garden of God.
It was perfect.
Yes, I accept what Jerry said here, but what he's talking about, I believe, is the nation Israel, the nation Israel, he is equating it to the beginning, the beautiful Garden of Eden. There was no sin there, initially. There was no sin. Sustenance abounded. But what happened? Unrighteousness occurred with eating of the fruit. You were on the holy mountain of God. This relates right back to the previous, like Eden. Holy mountain of God, but the holy mountain of God could also pertain here. It could be a comparing contrast to the temple, the Lord's temple. It may not, but since it is so closely related there in the scripture, it probably does. But make up your own mind about that when you read the scripture. You were blameless until you became unrighteous and played the harlot. Basically, that's what he's saying here. That's the message here. You were blameless, but you're not anymore. You played the harlot with many nations. And it's the nations that we showed on the map. He's relating it to, it's not just nations, he's talking about the entire world. Now, son of man, set your face towards Sidon and prophesy against her. go back to this map. See Sidon on the map over there by the ocean? There's a little brown line above them. That's the northern reaches of Ham. Sidon was also the northern reaches of Asher. But Sidon was never captured. Never captured. During the days of David and Solomon, they were under subjection, but not captured. They paid. They would have been paying tribute. Son of man, set your face towards Sidon and prophesy against her. Now, I was saying, think back in history of maybe why Sidon is singled out here. In 1 Kings 16, Sidon was the home of a rather, let's call her, famous woman, Jezebel. Jezebel, the home of Jezebel. Now, who was Jezebel? She was the wife of King Ahab, a wicked king of Israel. Now, she was one of the most wicked women portrayed in the Bible, in that her father, Ethbaal, the king of Sidon, her father, and she worshipped Baal and Asherah. Jezebel killed prophets of the Lord and installed prophets of her own. And when we study Elijah killed 450 prophets of Baal, I believe, and 400 of Asherah. I may have it backwards as to the numbers, but we're talking about Jezebel here and Sidon and relating it to Sidon. That was the wickedness. And because Sidon liked Tyre, did not glorify the Lord in what they did, they glorified other gods, their focus was on other gods, other nations, and they left God out of the picture. And that is why we have this prophecy against, not only in chapters 27 and 28, against Tyre, against Sidon. We had it against Philistia, Ammon, Moab, Edom, and one more that I can't...
Egypt.
No, well, yeah, it was Egypt, and we'll have Egypt. We may get started with Egypt a little later. We may not. Because you, Tyre, did not glorify God. In verses 20 to 24. Because you did not glorify God, he will bring pestilence and a sword. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And verses 25 and 26, chapter 28, here's the prophecy that Israel will be regathered. This is not just prophecy, it's promise. Because, I mean, we know, don't we, that Israel was in fact regathered. The time of this prophecy is about, prophecy is about 5 months before Jerusalem falls. The time of this prophecy is in 586, the first. And it says the first of the month. It doesn't tell us which month it is, but it's got Jerusalem fell in the fifth month of 586. Israel will be regathered from the nations and all will know that I am the Lord. I will execute judgments upon all who scorn them round and about them. Okay, brings us to where today's lesson should have started, chapter 29, chapters 29 and 30. And if you're looking for it in your workbook, it would be page 69. Now, we're going back in time a couple of months here, because it begins in... See if I have something relating to that here. In the 10th year, 587, in the 10th month. 10th year, 10th month. That's it. That's probably 2 months prior to what we've been reading and studying about Tyre. Because it was 586, and this date comes from, I believe, 26, verse 1. Chapter 26, verse 1, 586, first month. Let's see. Yeah, look at the top of this again. These dates have changed. This is a little bit similar to what you saw before, but part of it has changed. And the top line up there, Ezekiel 29, 1, that's where we are now. 10th year, 10th month, 12th day of the month, and it's 587. Now, Jerusalem fell 11th year, 4th month, 9th day. So, 4th month. I said 5th month earlier. I'm sorry. It's the 4th month. So, if you take 4 months and add the 2 months from the 10th year, we've got 6 months. So, it's 6 months until, from the time of our study right now, the beginning of this chapter, it's 6 months until Jerusalem falls. Son of man, set your... And I'm going to do some reading. I will not read this verbatim because I will let you know so you can follow along where I'm at. Verse 2, 29:2. Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and speak against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lives in the midst of the rivers, that has said, my Nile is mine. Now, this is a little bit like chapter 27. I am God, Tyre, I am God. Okay? No, you're not God. And see, Egypt is saying the same thing. Now, we know from history that Egypt has been a thorn to Israel all along, but all of it's not Egypt's fault. Part of it is Israel's fault, going to them and saying, come help us, or we won't, or that sort of thing. Verse 4, I will put hooks in your jaws. Verse 5, I will abandon you to the wilderness. You will fall in the open field. I have given you for food to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky. Verse 6, then all inhabitants of Egypt will know that I am the Lord, because they have been only a staff made of a reed to the house of Israel. Think about that. What is the mental picture you get from the staff made of a reed? The staff in those days... Consider a shepherd's staff that was probably a little bit taller than I am, made of strong wood, that could support and or guide. The reed, just picture the reed a little bit like a piece of cotton, a long piece of cotton. What's it going to do? It's going to fall. There's no strength there. There's no support. There's no guidance. Verse 7. When they take hold of you with the hand, and when they leaned on you, meaning the staff of reed, you broke and made all their loins quake. You promised to support, but you didn't support. In fact, about 18 months prior, when Nebuchadnezzar was besieging them, and the Pharaoh came up to help, he fled. He fled south from the army, from Nebuchadnezzar's army, and history says that a good portion of his army, Pharaoh's army, deserted at that time. Verse 8. Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring upon you a sword, and I will cut off you from man and beast. The land of Egypt will become a desolation and a waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Now, let's, because you said the Nile is mine, verse 10 now, I am against you and against your rivers. I will make the land of Egypt an utter waste and desolation from Migdal to Serene and even to the border of Ethiopia. Okay, there is a likeness of what we're talking about here. Started the, well, first of all, let's look over at the left hand, bottom left hand of the map. There are many names, and a King James Bible will have different names than the New American Standard Bible will. They'll outline these differently. I have tried to use all the names at the bottom left that these places are known by. Lud, for example. Some say that Lud is Lydia, and Lydia is in Asia Minor. Lydia is Asia Minor. Libya is in, is where Libya is today, generally, in northern, in the northern North African continent, and probably it is. It's further west than where I have it up here. Or east of the Tigris. Now, we had Lud east of the Tigris in chapter 27, and that Lud and this Lud could be different, because the Lud in chapter 27 is a son of Shem. There is a Lud that is a son of, I believe, Ham, or his descendants. Now let's look at the, well, Pathos, Upper Egypt, Syene is modern Aswan, where the Aswan Dam is at. Thebes and No are the same place. Zoan and Tanis are the same place. But take a look here. We'll talk about Tephanese a little later. Tephanese, which of the so-called major prophets wound up at Tephanese?
Jeremiah.
Okay, he's going to mention Pathos, and what Pathos means is Upper Egypt, or words to that effect. And Ethiopia is in this region. Now, from up here at the Mediterranean Sea to here, to Syene, is about 750 miles. And the entire map here is going to be 1,200 to 1,500 miles. Lower Egypt, of course, is the reason it's called Lower Egypt that way is because the land is lower. Now, see the red line at Syene here? That is called the first cataract. And what a cataract is the rushing or the flowing forth of waters or the falling of waters. It is the cascading downward of the Nile River. There are three or four cataracts, maybe even more than that, but I've read about three or four. And this is the first one coming from the Mediterranean Sea. Here. So let's go back to to the scripture now. So we had, I'm picking up a little bit toward the end of verse 10. Egypt and utter waste and desolation from Migdal to Syene and even to the border of Ethiopia. We'll see in a later study that they are pushed south to Ethiopia, to Pathos and that region. Verse 11, a man's foot will not pass through it, and the foot of a beast will not pass through it. And it will not be inhabited for 40 years. And in verse 12, about halfway through, and her cities in the midst of the cities that are laid waste will be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the lands. Verse 13. At the end of the 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the peoples among whom they were scattered. What is this 40-year period? What does 40 years here represent, do you think, in the scripture?
Completion. Trial.
Completion. Complete period. I think complete period. Does anyone have another understanding of what this 40 years means as he's outlined it here in the scripture? But the 40 years means at a period of time or a complete period of time, this is going to occur. Now, when is it going to occur? It's going to occur in 332. Actually, it occurs before that. It occurs in 522 for Egypt. 522, Cambyses, son of Nebuchadnezzar, takes Egypt, and 522 is the date of the last Pharaoh. 522 is the date of the last Pharaoh. Verse 14. I will turn the fortunes of Egypt and make the people of the land of Paphos. I read that wrong. I will turn the fortunes of Egypt and make them return to the land of Paphos, to the land of their origin. So he's moving them from the north to the south. And what the Lord is prophesying here is that they will be down south. They will be so weak. They will be so far out of the sight of the nations. Israel, you can't depend on them anymore, and no, neither will anyone else. He's kind of removing them from his sight is what I read from this. It will be the lowest of the kingdoms. It will never again lift itself up above the nations. Verse 16. And it will never again be the confidence of the house of Israel, bringing to mind the inequity their having turned to Egypt. Verse 17. Now in the 27th year, in the first month, 27th year and first month, if you haven't had time to count that up or add that up, that is 570. 570. And 570 is 2 years before Nebuchadnezzar actually invades Egypt after the 13 years of besieging Tyre. Verse 18, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made his army labor hard against Tyre. Oops. Okay, you see, Nebuchadnezzar, 587 to 574, that is 13 years that he was besieging Tyre. And it relates to this scripture here. He made his army labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made bald and every shoulder was rubbed bare. But he and his army had no wages. they did not take Tyre, is basically what he said here. Yes, they took that which was on the mainland, but I think we all know that Tyre had a fortress city and also a mainland city. The fortress city they never took. The fortress island city they never took, but Alexander did in 332. Verse 19, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I will give you the land of Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, you didn't take Tyre, but I'm going to give you Egypt. And he will carry off wealth, capture, and her spoil, and seize her plunder, and it will be the wages for his army. And see, Nebuchadnezzar did not capture Egypt, but he went down there and he fought, and he fought, and he fought. And they took many captives, they took much plunder, and what I'm saying to you comes from history, and they took it back to Babylon and paid his army with it, supported his army. Verse 20, I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor which he performed because they acted for me, declares the Lord. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, we know, don't we, was an arm of the Lord or an anointed of the Lord at this time. On that day, verse 21, on that day, I will make a horn sprout for the house of Israel, and I will open your mouth in their midst, then they will know that I am the Lord. The horn, I stand before you and say that I do not know who this horn is that he's speaking of here. Can anyone enlighten me and tell me what this horn is? When I first read it, I thought, well, the horn is like the tender shoot or the tender sprout, meaning toward the Messiah. But that's not right. That can't be right.
So it's in that day, in this day. So it seems to be before the Messiah.
Uh-huh. No, but mine says, and then the New American Standard Bible, I'm reading from the New American Standard, which says, on that day, Angelo, you have any idea on this?
I have no idea.
I'm at a loss, guys. I confess my ignorance to you.
So my Bible says it symbolizes strength.
Strength?
Mine says political power.
Mine says that it refers to the reestablishment of the divine line in Israel, David's line.
Somebody back there said something.
Mine says political power.
Political power.
Symbol for political power.
On that day I will make a horn sprout to the house of Israel, and I will open your mouth in their midst. Then they will know that I am the Lord. That is the reading of the New American Standard Bible. So, what I say to you, go ahead.
It gives a reference back to 1 Samuel 2:10. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth and will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed. And that's translated as the strength of his anointed.
Okay, the horn of his anointed, that helps me. The horn of the anointed at this point is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the anointed that we're talking about right here, right now, in this lesson. Do you accept that?
Yes.
Anyone go the other direction or another direction on that?
Yeah, I didn't.
It helps me.
Wasn't it Jeremiah where he said, right here, he was in Egypt, and he said, right here, Nebuchadnezzar's going to build his throne, right on these stones?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Now, bear in mind, we're talking about, he mentioned Jeremiah. It was 586, just after the capture of Jerusalem, that Jeremiah went to Tophonese. You know, we saw that at the northern Tophonese being up here, that's where Jeremiah wound up going to. I am not going to go into chapter 29 today, not try to. That is the last part of what would be today's lesson. So we will begin with chapter 29. I'm sorry. You told me that, and I didn't. Basically went in one ear and out the other.
But
chapter 30 on Wednesday, and we will try to get 31 and 32 as well, but if not, we will.